I loved the stuff that I did because it was something that I was really strong at. But it didn't light me up. It didn't give me joy. It didn't give me that sort of warm heart feeling. And what I found is that...
Welcome to Finding Your Spark again. I am so glad you were able to come and meet with me here today on the podcast. I feel really elated to be able to bring to you Keely Woolley. She is a coach, trainer, international speaker, co-author, business strategy and program delivery executive. And one of the big things that I'm so happy to be able to be doing here today with Keely is to talk about how we can use this question of why. What is our why, which is very popular, and it's not very popular for me. So it will be a very interesting conversation to really fuel that trajectory into joy. So welcome, Keely.
And thank you for inviting me along. I'm really pleased to be on your show. So, yeah, looking forward to it and intrigued.
Excellent. Well, you know, this question of purpose. So I'm big on purpose. I think purpose is, for me, there's a really big difference between these two words, right? This question of purpose and why. But for some people, they're really the same thing. And so why for me, just to sort of clarify that, the why is very direct relationship. We're asking a direct relationship. What is your direct relationship between why you're doing something and that you're doing it? Whereas to have a purpose, I feel like is a very broad statement. It's something bigger for me than why. Why am I doing it? Right? Because why implies that there's one reason as opposed to having a larger purpose. And then there's a whole bunch of whys, right? There's little things that along the way that propel us forward. But this idea of purpose, I think, is really intricately connected to joy. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on what purpose does for us.
So, yeah, it's an interesting perspective there. I think that's great. Because, I mean, for me, I do think they are interrelated about whether you're truly living your why and in terms of, you know, how that relates to your purpose. But ultimately, for me, with purpose, the important thing about that is, does it give you a warm heart feeling? And what do I mean by that? And it's exactly as you say. Does it give you joy? Does it make you smile? Does it help you to not have those sleepless nights? Does it enable you to feel even more fulfilled and successful, whether that's in life personally or professionally? And it's all about making sure that they're aligned to your beliefs and your values. So for me, I think in order to know your purpose, you do need to know your why, because it's rather like not knowing what your direction is. So there's a lot of people that know the what and the how.
So are those two words the same for you, the why and the purpose? Or how do they differentiate? Yeah, they're the same. Yeah.
For me, they are. It's why do you exist as a human? What gives you passion? What gives you purpose in life? What gives you joy? What gives you that warm heart feeling? What makes you smile? And, you know, there's so many people I see, they do things because they're good at it, but it doesn't give them joy. And you can see it doesn't give them joy because you don't see that light. You don't see them shine.
So I know you work with people also on sort of the downside of what happens when you don't have that joy, when you're not able to tap into that warm-hearted feeling. And so tell us a little bit about what are those, what does that look like when people can't do that?
Well, I'll use myself as an example. So up until 2.5 years ago, I was working with in a corporate environment. I had been for 23 years and I thought I was doing something that I loved. I thought that I was doing something that I was passionate about. What I loved about the place that I worked there was that I loved the people. I loved the fact that you had great opportunities. I loved the stuff that I did because it was something that I was really strong at, but it didn't light me up. It didn't give me joy. It didn't give me that sort of warm heart feeling. And what I found is that I was in an environment where I was trying to prove myself. I was in a leadership team, which was all men, and I felt that I had to prove myself amongst that team of people. I felt that I had to behave in a way that was probably incongruent to me and the way I actually felt. So I was behaving in a way that didn't suit me. It didn't make me shine. It didn't make me smile. And because of that, you end up doing loads and loads of things. You're volunteering all of the time because you're trying to prove yourself to others and trying to look good and trying to prove that you're capable and that you do have a seat at the table. And the result of that means is that you're spinning plates all the time. And particularly, I mean, anybody that's a housewife, a mother, you know, working in a full-time job will know that when you're spinning those plates all the time, you're just constantly running at 100 miles an hour. Your brain's going at 100 miles an hour and you're not having a chance to breathe. And because you're doing all those things, you're not really enjoying life. You know, you're on tender hooks. You're perhaps snippy, shooting from the hip. You're responding in a way that is not what, you know, it doesn't give you joy.
So you bring up this concept of outside in, right? Really looking at the world as if you are someone else and saying, gee, what do I look like from the outside? How do people perceive me? And what does that mean to them? And what does that mean, not just to them, but to then what they'll do for me, right? What avenues will open for me? How I get from this part of the corporate ladder to that part of the corporate ladder, right? It's how do I please these people over here? And what is pleasing to others? And I'm really glad you bring that up, because I feel like when we look at ourselves from the outside looking in, we are in a position to really tell a lot of lies to ourselves, right? Because we have no real information, right? It's not a position we know one thing about, but it is something that we suppose a lot about. So that's a really interesting position, because I find that unless you're willing to look at you through your eyes, which is really how you're going to tap into that, how do I feel? Do I get the warm-hearted feeling, right? Am I going to be able to foster that in myself? Then what other people think of you is elusive.
And it does change the perception. And what you think people perceive you as isn't necessarily which is real. You know, I thought I was showing up as being this sort of high-flying professional that was doing really well and doing successful and all those kind of things. But because I wasn't behaving in a way that was congruent to me, I was actually behaving in a way that didn't show me as a true leader. And what do I mean by that? So I'll give you an example, and I share this a few times with people, is that I used to, in the leadership team meeting, is that I might have this really fantastic idea and I have loads of energy and I'd say, oh, you know, what we could do is A, B, C and D. And then I'd get this sort of blank look, and then I'd try and explain it in another way, and I'd get another blank look, and then I'd try and explain it in another way. And then after a while, I'd just think, oh, God, what's the point? No one's listening. And then 5 minutes later, like someone next to me would almost word for word repeat what I'd say, and I'd be like, are you chuffing kidding me? It's just, I've been trying to say this for like the last half an hour. And because it was an event that would happen again and again and again, I'd then get frustrated and I'd start behaving emotional, because the emotional brain kicks in, the monkey in the head that's whispering in your ear. And instead of being able to respond in a constructive way, I would be reacting in a destructive way, which made me show up as not as a leader. It made me show up as someone that was emotional. And of course, it would be, there she goes again, you know, the emotional one, you know. And they didn't outwardly say it out loud, but I'm sure that that's how I did show up to them. Whereas if I'd have actually changed, had a chance to actually look at myself outside, And one of the key things that I do is sort of monitor, you know, I ask people to sort of monitor their stress patterns. I ask people to monitor, you know, some of their stress indicators, and what was the cause of it? What was happening at that particular time? How did they show, you know, how did they reveal themselves? What was you doing? Who was you with? All those kind of things. Because I learned that I needed to ask those questions of myself in those situations and say, right, if the actual situation was different, not my emotional head, but my logical head, how could I behave in a better way? How could I respond that's in a better way? And there are people that all the time that you know them, you're never going to change who they are, but you can change how you behave to a situation. So with that, I learned techniques that I could have responded in a different way and shown up as a leader and not emotional. And they're the good things about learning to look in at yourself, outside in.
Yeah, that's great. So you really bring up this concept of awareness, right? When we raise our awareness of our own emotional story, what's happening in my body. So I talk a lot about on the podcast and elsewhere about above the line and below the line emotions. And for me, that's a really tangible thing. And the reason that it's tangible is that I'm actually asking you to tap into what your body is doing, right? So below the line is where those stress chemicals are being made in our bodies. And above the line is where those really good feeling, non-stress related endorphins are being made in our bodies, right? So, and other hormones and chemicals. You know, when we are really aware what's happening, like you said about your clients, what is happening inside your body at that moment? What does it feel like when somebody says that to you? What happens here? And then sort of get control of that. It gives you this incredible ability, because you're aware, to be in conscious control of what your next thing is, right? Like you said, respond, you know, now I can respond rather than be in a cycle of reaction.
Yeah. Perpetual frustration or anxiety or stress, or, you know, almost like, oh, why is it every time they do that? Well, instead of it being, why do they do that? Change it around to, well, how can I respond differently? I take back full control. I have power of the situation because I've got 100% control of it, rather than zero power, zero control, and behaving in a way that's irrational or emotional or emotive. And the thing is then you then get frustrated with yourself for responding in that way, because you know that you're going to do it, and you think, well, why did I do that? Because you can almost feel it happening. And you're just like, so okay then. So if you're going to an event where you know that there might be that one person in the room that pushes your buttons because of things that they do, well, they're always going to push your buttons if you allow that to happen. But if you know that that person does it, is that you can go ahead beforehand and think, right, okay, then how can I respond to this in a better way? So it doesn't frustrate me. It doesn't cause me anxiety. It doesn't cause me stress. So, you know, and you can almost smile to yourself because you've taken control of yourself in that situation and you're showing up better. So
nice. So here we are. We've raised our awareness of what we're doing, how we're participating. Now, where does that sense of purpose come into the story? The why?
So that's the interesting thing. So, I mean, obviously for me, my first step is always focusing on the stress side of it and how you can manage that. But not everybody is in a stress situation. They just want to rediscover their why. So for me, the rediscovering their why or their purpose and what gives them joy and passion, It is around storytelling, but the storytelling is starting from when they're youngsters. You know, what is it about certain situations and events that was more meaningful for them, whether it's positive or negative? But what was it about those situations? What was it about those events? What was it about that particular time that made it even more memorable than any other time? And when you're going through all of those different questions and all those different stories and everything like that, you start to see, again, a pattern coming through, a theme coming through. And that's when you start discovering what it is about that person that really connects them to their why, their purpose. And it also aligns with their values, you know, what their values are, what their beliefs are, what really, really drives them. So that's what the whole why feeling is about. It's that rediscovering and being able to establish what connects you, what gives you joy, what taps into here, enter here. So.
That's great. So you mentioned going back to childhood. Can mm-hmm. you tell me what is the purpose in that? Why do we go? Why do we tell the story from birth on, in this exercise?
Yeah, so it's not necessarily birth, but it might be, you know, memories of, you know, events that may have a specific connection. Where it might be, you know, for instance, you know, they might be a holiday location that they've gone to every single year, but one specific holiday time that they went. So you might have gone to Cornwall every single year, but there might be one time that it meant something more than any other time. And it could be to do with someone that's there. It could have been to do with something that you did. It could have been something to do with what was being said. You start asking questions about related things associated to that situation. So it might be, well, what was it about that event that you liked? You know, it might have been a joyful feeling. It might have been that you was helping someone. It might have been that someone inspired you at that particular situation. And, you know, you quite often you start seeing sort of themes and patterns that come through. Mine is around helping people. It's about inspiring others. It's, you know, helping others to have those sort of eureka moments and seeing those light shines in their eyes, you know. And everything that I did was always about helping people. So for me, I knew the common theme was about inspiration, was about joy. It was about, you know, helping others to achieve success. You know, I like helping others to achieve success. So it's all about that. So when you're going through those different stories, and some of them can be not so positive stories, but it's, well, what is it about those situations? One of my clients is all about establishing their own well-being and having freedom. And when you're going through a lot of their stuff, it's about their well-being, freedom, and being in control of their own destiny. And you'll see it every single story. There's a theme and a pattern goes all the way through every story they've got. And those three words would have come up is being in control of your destiny, your well-being, and freedom.
Let's talk a little bit about how knowing that mm-hmm. Has an impact on your ability to release some of the things that are blockages and move into a state of joy.
Interesting question is that when you're actually going through the process, when I turn around and say, you know, this eureka moment, this light shine suddenly come on, and you do actually physically see it happen, you see the moment when you see them suddenly go, okay, I get it now. And they realize what it is that they want, what it is that they need, and what really gives them purpose and what gives them passion. And then they're able to start going on to this journey. Like the next step is being able to sort of build upon their sort of values and what their beliefs are. So they can then start working on, well, what is it that they really want to do? What is it that really gives them joy and gives them triggers? So there might be something that they're really good at. It might be something that they've forgotten they were good at. It might be something that they really, really enjoy doing. I mean, one of my clients, she actually forgot that one of the things that she loved doing with her grand was being creative. And she'd always said to herself that she would want to do sort of make clothing and be creative all around those kind of things. And she ended up on, like I said, she ended up on this path in somewhere where it's creative, but she wasn't doing the creativity. What she was doing was the business side. And she'd forgotten that. She'd forgotten the things that really gave her joy, and the creativity was the bit that she wanted. So she's now gone back down to the root of actually doing what she loves. And she's creating, you know, she's turning basically used clothing and converting them into clothing that can now be used in a more sustainable way, because that's what she's all about, is sustainability. But she's gone back to her roots of what she loved, and she's forgotten all those memories that she had of her grand, all the things that she loved doing. So that's just as an example. So
it's a really interesting way to look at joy. I my practice and my clientele, we're very focused on how can we produce that, right? How can we do that on purpose, right? Be joyous on purpose. And this is an interesting way of sort of tapping in. How do I want to do that? How can I reach for being more joyous, using the material things that we have here on the planet Earth, right? So that's really interesting. So now I understand you are a published author and an international speaker. Can you tell us a little bit about that story for you? How did that come about? And what's your primary message there?
So that was quite an interesting thing, actually. So when I was first made redundant from the corporate company that I was with, I started doing consultancy, which is the bit that it doesn't give me so much joy. It pays my bills, but it doesn't give so much joy. But whilst I was going through that journey and I was trying to build a framework, because what I was trying to do is build a framework to help CEOs and leaders, to help them to rediscover their why. Because one of the things that I used to find within the corporate environment is quite often they're going around like busy fools. They're doing the what and the how rather than the why. And because they're not doing the why, it's not clear to the rest of the business and the organisation. So I was trying to create a framework where I could cascade that down. But what I didn't know how to do was to share the message in a way that would be clear and, provide clarity. And during this whole process, I met this lady through the E&E Circle, Executive Networking Events, a lady called Shelley, a very amazing lady, lots of energy. And she contacted me to join this group because I was trying to find a way to reach more people with my consultancy business. And when we went through the process, part of joining it, she also offered me the opportunity to go to Northern Ireland. It was at this castle that they do this event at, and part of being at this event at this castle, which is still and has the Earl of Crom living there, so it's as his home. And through the process, you had the opportunity to write a chapter in their book Risk and Reward, and you also had an opportunity to be a speaker at this event and share your story. And I said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And she said, but you don't know what it's going to be writing about. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going to just do it. So I just I'll just take a leap of faith and I'll go for it. And as luck would have it, it was actually delayed because of COVID, because it gave me more time. Because just after that, I then joined this group called the Professional Speaker Academy with Andy Harrington. And I saw him online he said, you know, because it's really easy to share what a product is. It's harder to share what a service is and be able to communicate it in the right way. And I watched this video with him and I thought, I need to do this. I need this as part of my life. And then I joined the Speak University, did some training with them. And then I then joined his Speaker Academy and I then became one of his ACE coaches. And I'm now teaching other people and speaking. But through the journey, it gave me the opportunity to, one, write the chapter of my book, which is about the journey I had when I left the company. Unfortunately, as you can imagine, it was quite a tough time because I not only had to put myself at redundancy, I had to put my team at redundancy, which was probably the hardest thing I've had to do in my life. And it really had an emotional effect on me. I sort of shut down physically and mentally for quite some time, which was a bit of a surprise for everybody because they're used to this stalwart character that's always smiling and always working hard and looking after everybody else. And I just went. So I then shared my story about this particular chapter. And obviously the next chapter of it was meeting Shelley and writing the chapter, meeting Andy and doing the Speaker Academy. And then I wrote the chapter of the book. And then I then went to the castle in April for the book release and did the speaking event that I did, my first international speaking event, and which was also publicised for, I think at that time, about 5,000 members. So obviously it would have reached the members as well as also the group that's there. And also it was with the Earl of Crom. And it gave me the opportunity to interview the Earl of Crom as well. So my first interview ever was with the Earl of Crom, which was fantastic. So, yeah, so that was my journey with that. So, and I absolutely loved it. It was one of the best things I did. And now I just do speaking events as much as I possibly can. So I went from being terrified of speaking on the stage to really enjoying it, going in the endorphins, turning the fear into excitement.
Nice. So you mentioned the name of the book is Risk and Reward, right?
Yeah.
And I know that it's focused on business, but I wonder if you can connect for us and for our listeners the concept of risk and purpose. So how are those two things related? What do they help one another? How do we navigate them?
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. That's a good question because, you know, without taking risks, then quite often you can't achieve your rewards and what your purpose is, because you may have a purpose, but unless you're willing to take that leap of faith and take a risk or take a punt at something, then you may never get the opportunity to live your purpose. And unfortunately, that is one of the challenges that you have in business. I mean, I know for years, everybody kept on saying to me, oh, you'd make a great, you know, coach and consultant, all those kind of things. But because I was with that company for over 20 years, you know, you've got, you know, comfortable salary, you've got a nice redundancy payout if you do get it, a nice pension and all those kind of things that go with it. So it's quite hard to take that leap of faith and go, do you know what? Forget all of that. I'm going to go and take a leap of faith and I'm going to do what I really, really love, what inspires me, what gives me joy, what gives me passion. And without taking that risk, you never follow it through. So that's why risk is so important to be able to live your purpose.
I love that. I was listening to a speaker just yesterday, I think it was, and they were talking about how when you have purpose, the risk is so much smaller than when you don't have purpose, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just out there going like, I think I want this thing, I think I'd like it, and I'm not really connected to myself. I haven't really made peace in myself yet. I don't know. I don't have full control over my body and my mind and my spirit. But I think I want the thing. So I'm just going to risk everything to get the thing. That quite often where that level of risk is huge. It's giant. Mm. It's a crapshoot, right? Yeah. But when you say, hey, this is who I am. This is how I'm connected to myself. This is how I know how to be in control of my surroundings, my world, my emotions, my body, mind, and spirit. And so the amount of risk in taking that risk is so much smaller than the stab in the dark method, right?
Oh, 100%. Because ultimately, you know, this is why I say with, you know, your purpose, it needs to be aligned with both your personal and your professional, because they are 100% aligned. Because if there's one of them that's off kilter and it's not aligned to your purpose and your values, then that then doesn't give you joy. When they are aligned, then you, as you Simon, say, then the risk seems so much smaller. I mean, how many people have you seen that said they've just given up everything? I'm going, do you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to do this, and they make it happen. It doesn't matter what happens, they make it happen. And I mean, I know I had, you know, a while ago, I had the opportunity, because I was still sort of working, growing my business and everything like that. It takes time. It's not overnight. Now, I could have gone back to doing full-time work. I could have just gone, I'll go back to doing sort of, you know, going back to a corporate company and everything like that. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I 100% not doing it. If I've got to go and work over at the corner shop or behind a bar, I would rather do that. And I'm not saying that that isn't, you know, somebody enjoys doing it. I did it years and years. I did that. I could have gone back to the corporate and be earning a good salary, but it's just like, it doesn't give me joy. And I'd rather carry on risking everything and making sure that I make this happen, because it's what gives me joy.
Yeah, you really bring up that sense of purpose gives us stick-to-itiveness, right? In the real world, that's what it sort of translates to, is like, this is what I've decided. This is the direction I'm going, and this is what I want. And so I am going to go and do it. And when it fails, because everybody fails sometime, right? So when it fails, the question is, what do you do with yourself? Do you say, hey, you know what? That's my thing, and I'm going to get it. Or do you say, that's not so good. Maybe I should go get that job in that sector that I don't really want to be in. And that isn't to say, I mean, of course, I know many people who have said, I'm going to go get it, but I do need that job to fill in the blanks in my economy, my personal economy. But that's a really different thing than I'm not going after it anymore. I've had it. It's too hard. I'm going to just go get a job. And that really is fueled by that sense of purpose and the energy, the coursing energy that we get when we foster those above the line emotions. And so I love that you bring that up. It has been such a pleasure to speak to you. Now, tell our audience, how can they get in touch with you and what you've got going on?
So what I have is a link to my Calendly, so you can have like a free discovery call and find out who I am. So
Nice.
because, at the end of the day, you need to know who I am first before you want to have a deeper dive. I also have like a free daily stress tracker that I can share in a chat, so you can start monitoring yourself, which is quite useful to do over a period of time. And I can also share with you a link to my free Facebook group, which is for female executives and leaders, and it just gives sort of insights and topics and snippets of information and some of the stuff that I teach and guide. So I can share those with you.
Wonderful. So we will, of course, link all of that on all of the platforms. This particular podcast goes to YouTube, which we love, and because I'm very visual. And my first career was in sound, so I love all the other ones too. And it goes to all the major podcast platforms as well as our particular website. So if you'd like to sign up to get the notifications, you can do that at findingyoursparkagain.com. Also, if you are interested in learning a little bit more about what your joyousness is, what is your level of joy, and how do you relate to that joyousness? Are you ready to be really getting some momentum in that area? Or are there things that you feel like are blocking that effort for you? You can definitely take the application. It's a really reflective questionnaire where you get to see you, right? And you send it to me. And that's at joyousonpurpose.com. And that, of course, is linked below as well. And if you'd like to support the podcast, then you'll find a buy me a cup of coffee link below as well. So thank you so much for being here today with us. I feel like we brought a little bit more purpose and joy into the world, and that's because of you. Thank you, Keely.
And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.